The following interview is conducted as part of the Georgia Institute of Technology's Everyday Georgia Interview Project. Today is June 12th. The interview is taking place at the Micro Business Enterprise Center. The interviewer is Allison Powell Key. The interviewee is Shalina Hawkins, Director of the Albany Department of Community and Economic Development. Thank you for participating in this project.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, first question is, can you talk about where you were born and where you grew up?
Okay. I was born in Miami, Florida, Dade County, but I was reared in a little small town, Woodbine, Georgia, in Camden County. It's along the southeast coast of Georgia, about 1,400 lovely population. And I always tell people Woodbine is an indication of what you will see when you go that route on the southeast coast. Plenty of woods. But I've been there all my life until I got ready to go off to college.
Okay. And that leads into the next question. Can you talk about your education and career experiences?
Yes, I graduated in 1989 from Camden County High. And right afterwards, I went off to college, to Talladega College in Talladega, Alabama. And a small town girl kind of got homesick and wanted to come back home. And so my mother pretty much gave me three options. She said Valdosta State, Albany State, Savannah State. So I kind of picked the school that was a little bit farther from her and ended up at Albany State. And I graduated in 1997 with my Bachelor of Science in Biology. And then from there, wasn't certain as to what I wanted to do. I sort of had a love for science, but not certain as to what I really wanted to do. But I went back to Albany State in about 2003. I got my master's in public administration.
Okay. Science is way different from what you're doing now.
Yes, ma'am.
So how did you end up with the career that you're in now?
I went back to school after I graduated from Albany State with my Bachelor of Science. Again, not knowing what I wanted to do, but I could tell you everything that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to work in a lab. I didn't want to become a doctor. I thought I wanted to become a dentist. And just didn't know. So really, I got married, started having my kids, and I was a homemaker. Then as my kids started to getting older, I was like, okay, time is ticking. What am I going to do with my life? And I went back to school. I went back to Albany State, and that's when I got my master's in public administration. Well, the concentration of my most interest was community and economic development. I still didn't know, you know, early age of 20s, what I wanted to do, but I always knew I wanted to help people. And so once I got into that concentration, I knew that was me. I really did. And after I graduated there in 2004, I had the opportunity to do a 3 rotational internship where I interned at Albany State in the Public Administration Department. I also interned for the County Human Resources Department and at the time Community and Economic Development that was housed in our city manager's office at that time. And so after that, I kind of figured this is what I want to do. So job opportunities came from the internship.
Okay. Talk about just what your job is like day to day. How do you work with the community specifically?
Our department's name says what is exactly what it is, mm-hmm. Department of Community and Economic Development. The city is a entitlement community, which means it annually receives allocations from U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. We receive what we call Community Development Block Grant Funds. These are grant federal funds, and also funding sources, Home Investment Partnership Program funds, or our home funds. Our Community Development Block Grant Funds allows for us to administer programs in partnership with other nonprofit agencies or administer programs ourselves. I consider us having many divisions, but none. We administer public service programs, meaning nonprofit groups or institutions that are serving special populations like our young people, our elderly, our disabled persons. We're able to provide them with grant funds to carry out their programs, senior citizens. Also, we have our what we call homeless programs, where we don't directly provide services, but we partner with our local agencies who serve the homeless. We provide them with funding to where if they're in one of their shelters, in order for them to transition out of those shelters into more safe housing, we provide housing vouchers to where we can pay for one program their rents, a portion of their rents for up to 24 months. We help businesses, entrepreneurs with business loans. This building here is the Micro Business Enterprise Center, and we call it our incubator. And when you think about a baby that was prematurely born, they place in the incubator for a certain time period. And what we're able to do is to bring businesses that are startup businesses, just ideas and a great business plan, but not having the necessary resources or networking opportunities. And it allows that business to be incubated here for up to 5 years to grow and thrive in the mainstream. And then housing is probably 80% of what we do. We administer or provide oversight for the city's rental properties, just under 200 properties, single family homes, multifamily complexes, to where we are able to provide affordable housing in our city. And that's one of the things that birthed the Smart Initiatives challenge for the city. Housing is what we do, and we want to make sure it's getting better each and every day.
Okay. How do you think housing can be improved in Albany?
I think one of the things, our housing stock is about 33,000. And when I look, just sometimes riding through the community, we'll see, you know, it's there and evident that our housing stock is aging, it's getting older. And so with a large population of low and moderate income individuals whose household income is less than 30,000, you know, some are on disability or have minimal resources, their ability to be able to make improvements to their homes can become a challenge.
Right.
And so with these federal funds, what we've been able to do is to administer rehabilitation programs. We started out replacing roofs and HVACs. In the summer times, it's scorching hot in Albany, Georgia. And so to know that some of our residents don't have working HVAC, that became a focus of ours. And then roofs. A leaky roof can lead to, you know, mold and mildew, which impacts your respiratory system, you know, and the list goes on and on. And then another concern is lead-based paint. If our housing stock is old, you know, post-1978, then we know that the presence of lead-based paint is probably there. So being able to take housing and see housing differently today, but in the future to come.
Let's talk about just Albany in general. You know, like I said, we had the chance to walk around a little bit. What are some things that you love about the city, and what are some opportunities that you could see for improvements or further, you know, for the future?
I think for Albany, the good life city is what we hear and say about Albany. Albany offers a host of, look at your, even though we have an aging housing stock, we have an existing housing stock with, for me, opportunities. I think a thriving downtown that's on the verge of increasing. We know that businesses will come when there's an educated population. We have schools that at once were challenged, but are coming off of certain lists, and that's speaking volumes to the leadership at the school system and working in tandem with the city. I think for me, what's great about Albany is the opportunity, the what I call hidden treasures and jewels. For me, if you dig deep enough, you're going to find something. And so I'm one who likes to get into the trenches and see what the possibilities are. I have wonderful kids who have been educated here, and, you know, mother is always going to toot her own home and father about our kids. But I think that them being able to come through the school systems here and also living in neighborhoods that, you know, have challenges, but at the same time have opportunities.
Kind of transitioning back to your personal, life. What are your interests or hobbies?
Oh, yeah. I saw that question. I was like, oh. I love writing. I've always loved writing. Even as a little girl, I would, and I'm a bit of a hoarder. You know, I go in my garage and I'm cleaning it out, and I'll find boxes, you know, from high school to where I find some of my poetry. But I love words. And writing. So I love, you know, I tell my kids I'm going to write a book, you know, it's going to have y'all in it, but poetry, spiritual poetry, poetry and words that mean something that can, you know, draw you in, make you feel, make you see what you don't see. And then I love singing. Three out of four of my kids are singers. So my hope and ambition is that one day, if it never makes it to the, what is it, the big stage with, can't even think of your idols.
American Idol?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In our house. That's our idols. That's our platform.
Right.
But we love to sing, and it just does me good. You know, you can have a bad day sometime, and I'm in the kitchen and I'm washing dishes. My husband's at work, and my kids are stellar at school. When they get home, I think it was just something as they grew up to where it was, oh, I can breathe. And it was nothing uncommon for us to be, I'm in the kitchen and they're in the living room, you know, either studying or watching television, and we break out in a song. And to me, music is, it's ministry, it's healing. And just to be able to connect with my kids in that aspect, just have, you know, it's kept me young, I hope. And it's kept me, I guess, excited, because, you know, we'll sit and we'll take songs and they tell me I need to be in, you know, quiet by myself. No, you loud. But I don't know. It just does something for us. So for me, that's my greatest hobby. And being able to take sometimes the poetry and transition it into a song.
Right. Do you sing outside of home, like a choir or professionally or anything like that?
My praise team at my church, I do. But again, they tell me you need to be by yourself.
What church do you go to?
I attend Cathedral of Faith Church of God in Dawson, Georgia.
Okay.
Yes, right. Ma'am. Under the leadership of Pastor Vivian McDonald.
Okay. And how many children do you have?
I have four. Four lovely children. My oldest is 20. She'll be 27 this month. Mm-hmm. And she is in the Air Force, Staff Sergeant in the Air Force, 7 years. My second oldest, she will be 22 on this same month, on my anniversary.
Oh.
And she is signed up for the Air Force as well, but waiting for a job opening in the healthcare field. So she's sitting waiting already, and I'm like, talk to recruiters. I haven't heard anything yet. And then I have a daughter, Faith, and she is 19. She attends Kennesaw State Southern Polytech in Marietta. So she is going in her second year in college, and it is a wide open rude awakening for her.
I have a 19-year-old going to second college as well, second year of college.
Mama, how did I do this? And I'm like, well, independence, you know, I'm not up there. And then my son just graduated from Monroe High School. And so he is preparing for his ASVAB to go into the Air Force as well. So I don't know how I don't come from a military background, but my oldest daughter has always been the leader of, and I think they just watch her. You know, my baby girl, she told Mom, I'm not going to the military, I'm going to college. And so she's studying computer engineering.
Okay. Can you talk about a significant person or event which influenced who you are today?
I think that would be my mother. My mother was a strong being, strong presence. She was, when I say strong, it's you straightened up, you did what you were supposed to do, and she didn't have another word. I lost my mother in 2008, unexpected. But what I teach my kids now, my husband's mother is still living, and she's in Mississippi, but you know, it's 9-10 hours away. But we love the fact that my sister and my brother and I, it's just the three of us, talk about my mother like she is still here, because she put so much into us that you did not realize it until you were older. She taught me a spirit of excellence. She taught me structure. My mother was the kind, and I'm the oldest of my sister and my brother. And so it was just funny how I just grew up really quickly. She never had to, you know, talk to me about my education. She never had to, you know, even sign my documents when I went to school. I just, you know, parent-teacher conferences. but we look back at it as she put some roots in us that we can, you know, we can't pluck up, about tolerance, how to love people and treat people well. She grew up in an age where there was segregation. I think their high school, Rappaport High, was the first school that was integrated in our community. And so my community in Woodbine, it's a mixed community. And so I went to the high school where there was a mixed community. And so being able to see how she treated people from someone that she didn't know. My mother was a care. She had many jobs. She was, I remember, life insurance. She sold life insurance. She was a beautician. She was went to airline school in Atlanta. But it always dealt with people. She taught me really how to treat people, even when people may not in return treat you well. And again, structure. She taught us how to be just good stewards, you know, focus. And so her presence, even though she's gone, the things that she left in me is still there. And so our children, the beauty in losing her at such a young age of 56, the beauty is that while I was growing up, she was instilling things into me that I could pass down to my kids. Because every last one of my siblings and my children, they knew who they were. We call them mugger. My oldest daughter, you know, my mother was a young mother. And she was not wanting to be your grandmother, called grandmother or grandma. And so my oldest daughter could not pronounce, she couldn't say mother. She wanted her to call her mother. And so she said mugger. So now she's, you know, affectionately known to everyone as mugger. But I think that her love for people and her passion for people, she would just go and feed elderly people, you know, help them pay their bills. And being able to see that is, I know why I'm here. And I'll never forget one of the times that she came to visit me. And I said, Mama, this is where I want to work at. At the time, I was working for the planning department. But again, seeing, she was like a visionary. She taught us how to see when you cannot even see. And so we passed by here, and I said, that's where I want to work at, Mama. And I'm pointing, we're down here at the light. And she said, and you're going to work there one day. And she said, and you're going to run that city. And then you're going to come back home, and you're going to run that city. And I don't know if I'm running the city, but I do know that I'm running with purpose. So everything that I do, I want to make sure that I leave an impressionable mark with not title and all of that, but in who I am. And it's just having a passionate love for people. Talking too much.
Not at all. This is great. Thank you. Okay. So now we're going to transition to more of the Georgia Tech initiative questions. Can you talk about how you initially became involved with Georgia Tech?
I received a meeting invite from our tech group, which is our technology group. And it was to sit on one of the committees. And to be honest, I didn't know what it was about. I just kind of sat there and smiled, and I'm hearing, you know, about the initiative. And so Mr. Stephen Carter began to tell us about the proposal and the application process and all of that. And so the question came up, what project could we undertake? And so for me, again, housing being the integral part of, to me, a city, your businesses want to know what's your housing state. Our department and HUD and at our federal and local levels, they want to know what's the state of your housing. And so, you know, everybody gave their input as to what types of project we should address. And so for me, I was like, if I could have my wish list, I wish there were a registry to where if I put in an address into some type of database, it would tell me not only the condition of that housing, if that housing had any federal or local state resources injected into it. It would be able to tell me, of course, the tax data, you know, what year it was built, improvements that were made on it, but be able to expand to where I would know the infrastructure. Are there sidewalks in proximity to that house? What is the sewage capacity? Do we need to improve roads in that area? Are there traffic lights? You know, just basic things. And so from that birthed the initiative for us to make application for the Georgia Smart Cities Challenge.
Right.
And so that's how I kind of got pulled in on it. Still, I'm a bit selfish. I know they're the IT experts. I consider myself to know our housing inventory. So really, that's how I became a part of that.
Okay. Who will benefit most from having the information that you just spoke about, you know, like knowing the infrastructure and all those kind of details?
I think starters with the city overall. I think in order for us to be able to plan long-term for our future, we need to know what the state is. Sort of like, you know, you hear the president of the State of the Union. It's the state of housing in our community.
Right.
And again, with it being instrumental into everything that really touches, you know, some of the city initiatives. We want to make sure that we have safe, sustainable housing. We want to make sure that we're thriving in community economic development, that we're attracting businesses and we're retaining businesses. So I think that Overall, the city and its residents will initially benefit, but not only looking at the city of Albany, but even being able to expand it regionally. One of the things I love about our department and being able to make it a part of this initiative is we have what's called Fight Albany Black. And even before that, we were selected, and I believe it was 2013, as a Georgia Initiative for Community Housing Community, which meant that we worked in partnership with the Department of Community Affairs and some other groups in order to be able to network, learn best practices, and be able to, not just for affordable housing, but be able to make improvements to our housing stock and begin the strategic planning that it takes to, you know, make an impact in the long term. And so from GIX, spent Fight Albany Black. And that group is a sort of like an assembly of community groups and agencies who are already doing great things in our communities, as well as city departments. We're all and our residents partner together to me go block by block and be able to make improvements to our community. Start out with litter and debris pickup, and then expand it from there to making exterior improvements to the housing. Simple things as paintbrush and a can of paint can do wonders, and landscaping improvements, and being able to do those types of things in tandem with our residents. A lot of times, you know, we set policies in our communities and we identify funding, and I think we sometimes miss the missing element, which are our residents. They are as much stakeholders as the city is, and so in order for us to make the improvement, we want to work hand in hand with them. So I think the city overall, our residents, the state level, because with this being a new initiative, again, we get to toot the horn of our GIC communities, as well as the Department of Community Affairs, so the state level. And then when we're able to inject those federal funds into projects that we're now into the neighborhoods of and see the needs, then the federal level benefits. So I think it's, and then, you know, again, regionally. We don't want to just, we want to be somewhat of the trendsetters so that other neighboring communities that may not be recipients of entitlement funds at the federal level or recipients of state funds, but they'll be able to see some of the best practices and be able to take advantage of networking opportunities.
You answered a lot of these other questions already. Can you talk about how or whether this, initiative will affect your work or personal life? Obviously, it'll affect your work, but does it affect your personal life?
It does. I am a resident of Albany, Georgia, and I'll never forget the year that my husband's a police officer, 20 plus years. And so, again, based upon my background, you know, I love diversity. I love exposure too. And so we were, you know, living in a duplex and our family was growing. We were a two-bedroom duplex and our family was growing. And so, you know, we need to buy a house. And he was the only one working. Again, at the time, I'm a homemaker. Mm-hmm. And so we began to look for housing, affordable housing.
Right.
And so we were able to buy a new construction home, 4-bedroom brick home, that was constructed with the city in partnership with private contractors. And that house was funded with federal funds. And so being able to see someone who had a dream of homeownership firsthand, and being able to reside in housing that's considered affordable, and being able to provide the same opportunities to other individuals. And not only, you know, homeownership isn't for everyone, but opportunities. And we also, as a city, when we're looking at a housing stock, we're 60% rental housing and about 38-40% homeownership. And so putting people on one of those two paths, based upon what their goal is and agenda is something that I think this initiative will help us to do. We want to make sure that not only do we have available housing, but that housing is affordable, that housing is safe, that housing has all of the necessary infrastructure in order for it to be sustainable long term. So personal, I'm a beneficiary.
Right.
And then professional, I want to make others beneficiaries.
Right. All right. Well, just wrapping up, are there any further experiences that you'd like to share?
Ma'am, I love what I do. Again, my little quote is, do what you love what you do, do it well, or don't do it at all. And so since I've been with the city, I've been here since 2004, and sometimes I'm going, that's a long time. I feel like I'm getting older and I'm aging as a city employee. But I think that if I could leave anything, and I hope this will be shared with, you know, students, young people who having a clue of what they wanted to do, but having a passion for something and, you know, not being afraid of or fearful of the unknown. I'll never forget the opportunity after I graduated in 04. Now I have this wonderful degree. What am I again going to do with it? And those internships I received, I was hired as a planner through the city's planning department in 2004. And planning for me is something that I think that we take somewhat for granted. You know, we plan our vacations, we plan everything, but sometimes city planning overall is something that can help and benefit long term. And so being able to, I think, grow up through the city with being, you know, a little country girl, as well as a homemaker, and then getting that opportunity for employment, and then taking the things that my mother instilled into me and being able to sit in the seat. I've been in the, I guess, seat of director since about 2014. But to be able to grow up through the city, local government, and provide opportunities for people who, it's a challenged population. You know, we're wanting to make sure we're increasing literacy. We want to make sure that, you know, people know that there are opportunities that lie out here, I think is what I want to do. That's the stamp that I want to leave for the city, that you can take a little country girl out of Woodbine, Georgia, and bring her into a city with challenges, but also opportunities, and help to plan for its long-term sustainability, whether it's economic development, whether it's housing, or whether it's, you know, public works or things like that, transportation, being able to allow for it to take innovation and, you know, network opportunities like with Georgia Tech, and be able to grow this city so that it's sustainable for years and years and years to come when we have, you know, vehicles flying in the air and being able to say that I had some imprint on the city.
Well, thank you for participating in the Everyday Georgia Interview Project and sharing your story with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.